In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am so blessed. I have had a wonderful friend for many years who, when I first met her, used to worry me a little because she seemed to be a compulsive shopper. She was always finding the most incredible bargains. And even if she already had two of the item at home, she would buy two more just because they were such a bargain. And I don't just mean small things either. I've seen her buy couches and tables and chairs. And I would say to her, "What are you going to do with that couch? You already have two couches at home." And she'd say, "Oh, I'll find a place." And sure enough, she would. Well, what I came to know about her as I got to know her better was that she didn't possess anything. Or maybe I should say her possessions did not possess her. She gave away more than she bought. If a carpenter came to do a small job for her, she would engage him in conversation. And by the time he left, she knew all about him and his family. And when he left, he not only received the pay that she owed him, plus a little more because she just liked him, but he would have a beautiful red wool coat that my friend, for his wife, that my friend had found at a flea market for $10. And a hardly used extra large toolbox that she had found for $2 at a yard sale. He'd also have toys that she had bought at the closeout sale of a toy store to match the interests of each of his children. If she heard that someone had had a fire, she would bundle up clothes for the whole family and take them with a note that they could come and get a sofa, table, and chairs, or whatever else they might need. She was an avid decorator and loved to redecorate her house, which she did constantly, because things were always coming in and things were always going out. She was, and still is, one of the most generous people I have ever known. She also happened to be one of the best first grade teachers with whom I've ever worked. She taught first grade in the school in Fairfax County, Virginia, in Northern Virginia, where I was principal. I learned that she shopped for the fun of bargain hunting, not to stock up on things for herself. She never owned anything, or I should say, nothing ever owned her. I think that's part of the point of the gospel and the lessons for today. I say part because there's much more in these readings than just that. In order to really understand the gospel, this parable known as the parable of the rich fool, we have to understand it in the context of what Jesus was trying to do with his disciples. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He knew what was coming, and he was trying to prepare his disciples for what lay ahead for him and for them. They had left their jobs to follow him, but soon he knew that they would have to give up much more, some of them even their lives. And so he was teaching them all along the way about what was really important and not to be afraid of what was coming, to trust God and not to let anything distract them from the ministry for which he was preparing them. This parable of the rich fool is just one of many times Jesus warned them about the distraction of possessions. When he sent them out two by two, he told them to carry no bag, no money, no food, nor meat, and a minimum of clothing. I once wrote a song about that for a children's sermon, and I won't subject you to my singing this morning because my allergies are terrible and I sound like I'm talking underwater, but I'll tell you the words were this: "I send you out two by two to preach the word of God. No bag, no money, food, nor meat, just sandals on your 1-2 feet." And that's what, go light, that's what he was saying. Jesus talked about how the rich would have as hard a time getting into heaven as a camel would going through the eye of a needle. What he referred to there was the gate in the wall around Jerusalem that is called the Needle Gate. It is very narrow. If a loaded camel had to be completely unloaded in order to get through that very narrow gate. Again, he told his disciples to enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and easy is the road that leads to destruction. Jesus knew our human nature better than anyone. He knew that the disciples, to be his true followers, would have to unburden themselves of anything that would distract them from the purpose to which he had called them. I think one of the most amazing things about this story that he told about the man who had an abundance of crops that they wouldn't fit into his present barns is that he never thought once about giving away the surplus that he had to those who were without. He would just build bigger barns and keep it all to himself. And suddenly, his time to die had come. And as a wise person once said, there are no pockets in a shroud. That made me think of an event some years ago when there was a terrible bridge collapse in Minneapolis. Some of you may remember that event. One minute, those folks were driving along, listening to their radios and their CD players on their way to somewhere. And then suddenly, they were sliding off a broken bridge, whirling through the air toward the water, or crushed under tons of steel and concrete. In a matter of minutes, life changed entirely, or sadly ended for some. Recently, we have seen more than our share of sudden violence or natural disasters that have injured or taken the lives of fellow citizens of this country and in other places around the world. Lives changed in minutes. Perspectives of the survivors about what is important, no doubt changed forever. One night a couple years ago, I just happened to have PBS on television when the Travis Smiley show came on. And his guest for that night was Kirk Douglas. I had been working on a sermon at my computer in the other room, but when I heard the first part of the conversation, I turned the computer off and went in the other room to listen. First of all, not having followed the Hollywood scene very much, I was amazed that Kirk Douglas at that time was 90 years old and that he had suffered a serious stroke that left him with disabilities, including great difficulty in speaking. What he talked about was how important it is for us to live with the right priorities so that when we come to the end of our lives, we can look back with no regret for what we have done or not done. I think that's one of the things Jesus was trying to teach his disciples and speaks to us today. We live in a very materialistic society where there is huge encouragement to possess material goods and power. It seems that this is how our success is measured in the world today. It is a lifestyle that can distract us from the relationship with God that Jesus showed us leads to salvation and true happiness. And I don't just mean salvation as in going to heaven. I mean salvation now, right here and now, living a full and productive life in which we fully realize the gifts God has given us and feel happy and at peace. It's too bad that our lectionary stops this gospel where it does, because immediately following this passage is Jesus' wonderful discourse about considering the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And Jesus then said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. That passage means so much to me, because when my husband lay dying of a brain tumor in the Bethesda Naval Hospital years ago, I went in to visit, and I picked up the Bible and opened it up at the place where I had stopped reading the night before, and that's the passage I read. So on the way home, I said, okay, God, it's in your hands. In Mark's gospel, the writer tells us that after this parable about the rich fool, the disciples were understandably astonished, and they asked, then who can be saved? They seem to have missed the point of all these stories about the difficulty of riches. Jesus was trying to tell them, and I think us, not to allow possessions, power, or anything else to possess us. It's okay to have things, but just, you know, like my friend, to hold them lightly. When we follow Jesus, we are to put our trust and faith in God and not to worry about anything, not to allow anything to distract us from that God-centered way. God will provide for us, and God will lead us in the way that we're to go. We are not to be afraid. Then, if the bridge collapses tomorrow, we will have lived a full and complete and peace-filled life with no regrets. All these stories of Jesus about the difficulties of riches are more laments than judgments, because he wants all of us to have that kind of life of fulfillment and peace. What Jesus encourages the disciples and us is to keep only what we need and to give the rest to those who are in need. That's what my friend, the world's best first grade teacher, does, and she's one of the happiest people I know. John Wesley, theologian and priest, when he went to seminary, earned 30 pounds. He lived on 28 pounds and gave 2 pounds away. When he graduated, his salary increased, first to 60 pounds, then to 90 pounds, then to 120 pounds. He continued to live on 28 pounds and gave the rest away. He had what he needed, and he was happy to share the excess with those who did not. If only we could all live our lives like that, what a different world this would be. Our material possessions, our power, our successes, as the world measures it, cannot ultimately bring us the sense of happiness, peace, and fulfillment. And many have reached the end of their lives only to discover that. Only a life rich in the relationship with God and with others can bring us the true sense of peace we all seek. That God-centered, other-centered peace. When we are truly in that relationship, we can, like my friend, the shopping first grade teacher, love and give with great abandonment, because the love of God is in us and we are in the love of God. And as our hymn that we just sang said, take our gifts and let us love you, God who first of all loved us, gave us light and food and shelter, gave us life and set us free. Now, because your love has touched us, we have love to give away. Now the bread of love is rising, loaves of love to multiply.